You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 372 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Roland, here on this fine Monday evening. The Atlanta Hawks will be playing Tuesday night in their final regular season game of the 2017-2018 season. We've basically made it. Obviously, the podcast that I will do from Phillips Arena after the game on Tuesday will be the final sort of game pod of the season. But before we get to that, plenty to get to on this fine Monday evening, and some news from the Hawks and some checking in on the playoff race in terms of the Minnesota Timberwolves, as well as the ping pong race at the bottom of the NBA. That's sort of the agenda for today's show, but we'll start with the fact that Malcolm Delaney is officially out for the season. That was not a big surprise, obviously, in seeing that. There's been some allusions from Delaney on social media in recent days that he'd be having surgery. And on Monday, that was announced first by Delaney on Twitter, and then that was followed up by the Hawks with an official announcement. It is arthroscopic left ankle surgery for Delaney that occurred on Monday successfully, and the team announced that he'll be out for 6 to 8 weeks of recovery time. Obviously, that just keeps him out for the final regular season game from the Hawks perspective. Delaney is a free agent this offseason. He will be a restricted free agent if the Hawks offer him a qualifying offer, which would be $3.125 million. That is far from a lock. I do like Delaney. We'll talk about that in a second, but it's far from a lock that the Hawks will even offer that. So, tempted to say that he'll be a restricted free agent. That's not necessarily the case. He could be one if the Hawks were to offer him that qualifying offer, but if they do not, he'll be hitting the open market without restriction. The 6 to 8 week timetable for recovery is not terribly lengthy. He'll have plenty of time to get back into sort of regular shape before training camp. Obviously, he'll be sort of back and able to do some real basketball activity by the time June rolls around, which is plenty of time. Obviously, camp isn't open until late September in a lot of ways. So, and for a guy who's not going to probably be playing summer league, considering his age, Delaney has no reason to necessarily fret over that recovery timetable. He's had some ankle issues in the past. There was one that he references consistently that he suffered at Virginia Tech that may have hampered him a little bit previously in his career. But Delaney had a very nice bounce back season this year. He shot 37% from three. He was the best defensive point guard for the Hawks all season long, and the Hawks for the second straight season were better with him on the floor than with him off the floor. He's pretty much a rock solid guy. I've long been high on Delaney when compared to other people. I realize that, but at the same time, I think he's established himself as an NBA player. Sort of the market will be interesting for Delaney. He is older. He's much older than a normal second year player would be. He'll be 29 by the time next year it rolls around. So this is probably going to be his last. I think it's a multi-year contract. It might be his last in terms of sort of capitalizing a little bit on the way that he's played. But it was nice to have him see a bounce back season in a lot of ways. His jump shot came back around after some real struggles in year one, and I thought he was a pretty solid this season. I'm not sure what his role is going to be moving forward in the NBA. If I'm the Hawks, you're probably not prioritizing Delaney, but there'll be some interest in him around the league, I'd imagine, and then we'll see what kind of role he can land in the future. But at least want to wrap that up in terms of the news, and that'll be the last that we hear of Delaney for a while, as only one more game, and he'll be around for exit interviews, I'm sure. But aside from that, we'll see what his future holds in the very near future, I suppose, because he'll be hitting free agency in July. Moving on to one thing that I was talking about actually offline that sparked me talking about it on the podcast, and that is the play of Dwayne Dedmon and sort of his situation in a lot of ways. First of all, I tweeted this out on Monday, but Dedmon's three-point attempt rate has been jarring this season. He attempted one three-pointer in the first 4 years of his career in the NBA, and this season he is shooting 30% of all of his attempts from three, a crazy jump, and something that we saw in the preseason sort of as a harbinger of what was to come. Our eyebrows were raised in preseason over at Georgia Tech. I remember watching him shoot in warm-ups thinking, wow, he's really kind of shooting the ball really well from long range, and that actually developed into a real weapon for Dedmon this season. 36% from three-point range. I'm not going to tell you that that's absolutely going to be the case moving forward. It's still a one-year sample after basically nothing before that, but it looks good to me. I think it's a real weapon of his, and that got me into thinking about his future. Talking about that with a few people that I trust offline. He has a player option decision to be making in the near future. Both Dedmon and Mike Muscala have until June 29th to decide their player options. For Dedmon, he'll be deciding on a $7.2 million player option because he reached some incentives that bumped that number up to $7.2 million. That's something to also monitor because of the fact that I think he's still a player that it should be worth more than that on the open market and should probably opt out. He's actually older than you think he would be as well. He'll be 29 in August. It's probably going to be the best chance of his remaining career to cash in on sort of a big money contract in a lot of ways. I do think some back channel stuff, if you're Dedmon's agent, would be appropriate here. $7.2 million is not nothing. That would be a large sum of money based on what he's made in his career. Obviously, it's a large sum of money for anybody, but at the same time, I think Dedmon might be able to get somewhere two or three times that in guaranteed money if he were to hit the market. The problem is that the market's going to be squeezed this year in a lot of ways. If you're a guy like Dedmon, who I think is actually going to be a starting center moving forward, at least a low-end starting center, I think he's established himself as that with the jump shot. That's a huge development for Dedmon, and as a result of that, coming on this year, I think his market value is going to be pretty high, actually, when compared to what you may have thought it would have been a year ago. With that said, I think anything north of the mid-level exception was probably going to be too rich for teams to pay for Dwayne Dedmon. So if you're Dedmon, I think you're looking for a multi-year contract in that $7 or $8 million range, and that'd be a very nice thing for him to pick up and sort of absolutely blow his career earnings out of the water, because he's a guy along with Muscala also that was pretty underpaid for their first few years of their career. So something to monitor there. I wanted to at least say out loud on the podcast, all things equal, I think Dedmon's going to opt out. I'd be pretty surprised if he opted in to the Hawks. I'm not sure if there's a partnership long-term for the Hawks and Dedmon to come together on a contract because of his age and the fact that he's not a homegrown talent like Muscala is. Muscala's also a little bit younger. And I do think Muscala might give the Hawks a slight discount because he's a homegrown guy. He's been a Hawks lifer to this point in time, whereas Dedmon has very little incentive to do that. So if you were to ask me who's going to opt in and out, I think that Dedmon will opt out. Muscala is a more difficult decision. I think there's a chance he opts in, whereas Dedmon, I'd be pretty surprised. With that said, if you're Muscala's agent as well, you might want to consider trying to see what's out there before the deadline on June 29th. Of course, that would technically be back-channeling and be some illegal tampering behavior, but at the same time, basically everybody knows that's kind of what happens in the NBA world. I think you'd be going doing your client a disservice if you do not know anything going into the offseason. And Muscala, you can lock in $5 million for next year. That's not chump change at all. It'd be a huge number. It's life-changing money for a lot of people. With that said, if you're Muscala, if you can go out in the market, even if it's with the Hawks, actually, if you can get a 2 or 3 year deal at similar money, you might want to go ahead and do that. So some decisions to be made there. That's not new information, but just sort of a conversation that I was having offline that turned into a bigger sort of thought bubble in my brain. And I think prediction wise, right now we have plenty of time to talk about this in the next 2 months. But I think Dedmon's going to opt out. I think Muscala, if you had to put a gun to my head, I'll say that he opts in, but I have very little confidence in that necessarily. I do think that his decision is definitely a closer one, whereas Dedmon's is probably pretty easy. Moving on from there, two more things to hit on this probably, at least slightly abbreviated portion of the podcast. The lottery race is still out there for the Hawks. I mentioned that on yesterday's podcast. Actually, I want to do a cleanup a little bit on the numbers here, but one update to make on Monday. The only team in action the Hawks really care about at this point in time is the Orlando Magic. There was a faint hope that the Grizzlies could win out and the Hawks could lose on Tuesday. That would allow the Hawks to jump up a spot potentially, but that was never going to happen because Memphis is obviously in no position to win two games in a row. So they lost. Now that dream is dead. So the Hawks can absolutely do no better than third overall in the tank race. But the Orlando Magic lost to the Giannis Antetokounmpo-less Bucks on Monday. They now have 24 wins and one more game left. They play Washington at home on Wednesday. Dallas was off on Monday, but they have the Phoenix Suns on Tuesday in the finale. They had 24 wins also. So right now, three teams with 24 wins each: the Hawks, Mavs, and Magic. As of Monday, it looked like a lot of the sort of projected systems were still thinking that Orlando and Dallas would still win games. The Magic losing to the Bucks without Giannis is definitely a hit to that, and you're going to need them to hopefully encounter a team in Washington that's not going to be playing terribly well or trying terribly hard on Wednesday. We'll see how that shakes out. In the case of Dallas, they're actually going to be favored. They play the hapless Suns, who are the worst team in the league. With that said, Dallas is certainly capable of losing that game. And if all things are equal, Also, that also includes the Hawks playing Philadelphia, obviously, on Tuesday night. The Hawks are actually 9.5-point underdogs at this point in time, and Philly has every reason to try in that game. Joel Embiid is not going to be playing for the Sixers in Atlanta, but Ben Simmons is, Robert Covington is, J.J. Redick is, so they still have a team that's much, much better than the Hawks. With that said, you know, the Hawks have now won two in a row against a playoff-level team, so nothing to be easy there as well. But, you know, all things equal, if those three teams tie with 24 wins, that would be a 12.1% chance for the Hawks to finish with the number one overall pick, a 12.7% chance to finish with the number two overall pick, and a 13.3% chance to finish with the number three overall pick. And again, that those are the numbers if you tie, have a three-way tie for third, which is, in my opinion, probably the most likely scenario right now, unless Phoenix can rise up and knock off Dallas, then things will get a little bit more interesting when we break that down, obviously, if and when that actually happens in the coming days. Just a little bit of a note about what happened on Sunday. I talked about this extensively on yesterday's podcast, but if the Hawks were to land the number three pick overall, the number three overall standing in the lottery, I should say, they would have about a 31% chance at a top two pick. If you're somebody like me who has a top two player tier in this draft, that might be important to you. It was a 31% chance or so if the Hawks are number three alone. If they are in that three-way tie, though, it's about a 25% chance. So not a huge jump, and I do think that's worth pointing out. You got a lot of extreme reactions from fans who were upset. I don't blame fans for being upset that the Hawks won in some ways, but I do think the reactions were a bit over the top. You know, the people that wanted to sort of jump off buildings. It's not that big of a difference, I will say. I understand the frustration. I sort of hashed that out yesterday on the podcast. If you missed all that from yesterday, I encourage you to go back and listen to my rant if you want to do that. But As a note, you know, only a 6% chance difference between getting a top two pick between if the Hawks finish solo three or in a three-way tie. And actually, it's even smaller if the Hawks finish in a two-way tie, which would happen if and when the Mavs were to beat the Suns. So that's just something to sort of kick around in the coming days and really the coming hours. Is we'll know a lot more after Tuesday night when both Dallas and Atlanta are in action, and then we'll have to wait until Wednesday for the Orlando result and get the final results of the bottom of the race. One more thing to hit on before I get out of here, and that is the Minnesota Timberwolves and their pursuit of a playoff spot. And by proxy, if you are a new listener to the podcast or sort of not a diehard but want to just sort of catch up on things, the Hawks will get the Minnesota Timberwolves first-round pick if the Wolves miss the playoffs. It's as simple as that. If the Wolves make the playoffs. I'm tongue-tied here late on Monday, so... One more time, if the Minnesota Timberwolves make the playoffs, they will have to send their first-round pick to the Hawks. If the Wolves miss the playoffs, then the Wolves will keep their pick, and that will roll over to 2019 when the Hawks will have the same exact thing where you're hoping for the Wolves to make the playoffs. So with that said, obviously the Hawks are rooting for the Wolves to make the playoffs at this point. They want to have three first-round picks if possible. And going into Monday night, the Hawks needed three things to happen. They needed Minnesota to win, they needed San Antonio to win, and they needed Denver to lose in the nightcap. And two of those things happened. Minnesota won, San Antonio won, and then Denver was actually losing late in the fourth quarter, but Nikola Jokic and company ended up putting forth a come-from-behind victory, knocking off Portland, and that sets up a lot of perilous things for the Hawks. In short, it looks like all the marbles will come down to Wednesday night when the Nuggets and Wolves will face off. The only exception to that is if the New Orleans Pelicans were to lose on Monday and Wednesday, then they would actually be out. But at the same time, as I record this, New Orleans is up by 10 against the Clippers in the second half. That's not an official result as of my recording, but given that they have to lose both games, and on Wednesday, New Orleans will be playing a Spurs team that has no incentive to try necessarily. So that is a very unlikely outcome. More than likely, it's going to be a winner-take-all one-game play-in scenario between the Nuggets and the Wolves. And, you know, the Wolves might be favored in that game because they're going to be playing at home. Still, you know, Minnesota has not been playing terribly well. They did not look great in this game on Monday night. They played Memphis, so they ended up pulling away, winning by 19. But all things equal, I'm fairly terrified if you're a Hawks fan that the Wolves will be unable to knock off the Nuggets, who are scalding hot right now. Denver's won six games in a row as they approach this, and now they do have to go on the road, which is important. But if you are a Hawks fan, you'll be living and dying with every dribble on Wednesday between the Wolves and the Nuggets, because you know that's the difference between the Hawks having a third first round pick or not having a third first round pick. I will say, if in the event that the Hawks don't get that third pick, it's likely that it will convey in 2019. The only reason why Minnesota will not be making the playoffs this season is that Jimmy Butler got injured. If you go into 2019 season, the Hawks would still be likely to get that pick. It does roll over one more time, but you know you definitely want that to convey sooner rather than later, because because, you know, anything can happen. If you can have a serious injury next year, same sort of thing. You want that pick to convey at some point, because at some point it becomes two second round picks, which are far less valuable. So, you know, it's very important that the Hawks get that first round pick. That's the best, honestly. And also this year, because of that injury to Jimmy Butler, if the Wolves were to sneak into the playoffs, the Hawks would have a pretty good pick. That'll be a top 20 pick, versus if they were to stay healthy next year, they could win somewhere in the 50 game range. And that pick could be somewhere in the mid 20s or even late 20s if things go really well for Minnesota. So that's a big jump as well. And this is a draft that I think is pretty good. So all things equal, again, you want the Hawks to be picking three different times in the first round and four different times in the top 34 picks, if at all possible. And that's a big, big game on Wednesday. In fact, we're probably going to do some live tweeting of that non-Hawks game on the Peace Tree Hoops Twitter account. So I'll tell you how the implications are there. All that to say, unless something crazy happens with the Pelicans, it's going to be winner take all between Denver and Minnesota. I wanted to at least set that out, set the stage out there, and break that down. So go Timberwolves on Wednesday night if you are a Hawks fan. With that said, I'm going to leave you guys with all of that information to digest. It'll be also in written form every single day over the last couple of months. Sam Meredith from Peachtree Hoops has been breaking down what we're calling the Ping Pong Chronicles, which basically digests all of the Hawks draft scenarios on a daily basis. I encourage you guys to keep reading those over at PeachtreeHoops.com. Only a couple more days of that, but shouts to Sam for doing all that great work every single morning, keeping fans abreast of what's going on. So thanks to Sam for doing that. Please subscribe to the podcast if you've not done that just already, over at Apple Podcast or Stitcher or TuneIn Radio or Google Play, wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Please check us out there, as well as every single podcast is hosted over at Peachtree Hoops. And you can follow me on Twitter at BT Roll, and follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Hawks. We'll have all of this again, and we'll break down every single scenario once more after the game on Tuesday night. But for now, the Hawks do play their final regular season game of the season, their final game of the season this year, because of the fact that the playoffs are no longer going to be a thing the first time in a decade. So it'll be a little bit surreal at the arena on Tuesday night, but I will be there. I will chronicle what happens after the game live from the arena, and we will see you guys then. So stay tuned for that.